Welcome to the AngelPool conference call. This is Michael Price of CEO Ventures. I serve as the 2011 volunteer chair of AngelPool.org, and I'll be moderating today's call. We have an excellent panel today, which will be discussing best practices in generating high-quality angel deal flow. Before we begin, just some quick housekeeping announcements. Everyone is currently in mute. A number of questions were submitted in advance that we'll work our way through, but if you have any burning questions during the first part, please hit star 6 to unmute your mic and go ahead and ask your questions. And also, by the way, please barge in and don't be shy because we're a pretty loud group. And then just please press star 6 again after asking your question so that the background noise does not get out of hand. After the panelists' remarks, I will then remind everyone how to unmute your phones to ask questions again. Just remember, once you ask your question, to please hit star 6 again right after asking your question to reduce the background noise. For those joining the call for the very first time, AngelPool.org, it is an organization of volunteer leaders who help angel groups across North America and is dedicated to helping their leadership build strong angel groups in their cities to drive jobs, innovation, and exciting new companies. For those angel groups that need additional capital to complete a seed round or that would like more access to high-quality deal flow, the AngelPool Syndication Network is now the world's largest, providing easy monthly access to a large number of other angel groups and deals within their region. This also provides the members of each angel group total visibility into all the best deals in their region. AngelPool.org also organizes knowledge and educational events like this one to share best practices and lift each other's angel skills and knowledge. This ensures each angel group and their angels better fulfill their missions of helping entrepreneurs be more successful so that our portfolios in turn will also be more successful. With that, let's go ahead and begin. Again, today's topic is best practices in generating high-quality angel deal flow. We've got a great panel here. We've got Angel Venture Forum with Valerie Gatos. Valerie, I sure hope I didn't butcher your last name.
That's good.
Okay, perfect. From Baltimore, Maryland. And,
yes,
and Valerie, thank you so much for correcting me on several different times that you've moved from Pennsylvania. I'm still living in the past. We have also Boston Harbor Angels, Mick Williams in Boston, Mass. We've got Hyde Park Angel Network with Ira Weiss in Chicago, Illinois. And we've got River Valley Investors, Paul Silva in Springfield, Maryland. Let me ask each of the panelists to briefly introduce themselves to the group for a quick minute, and then we'll go ahead and begin the panel. So with that, let's just go it alphabetically. Valerie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Valerie Gatos. I met at the Angel Venture Forum, and we actually just started the forum, which was in the Baltimore, Washington area. I formerly run the Private Investors Forum out of Philadelphia, and ran a what we call the Angel Venture Fair, which is really a collective of a lot of different angel groups. And while I was doing that, I was the president of the Pennsylvania Angel Network. So I really got a chance to take a look at how each of the different angel groups work. But my background, how I got started, and I'll get into the other stuff later, but my background, how I started was that I started managing the Technology Council in Baltimore and decided to move out on my own and start a venture capital newsletter, Angel Venture publication. And it was basically the first online database for Angel Venture news that was affordable to entrepreneurs in the mid to late 90s. So it was an incredible cash cow, and it was great because it enabled me to start investing in other people's companies.
Okay, very good. Valerie, thank you so much. Mick Williams with Boston Harbor Angels. Mick, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry, Mick.
I'm muting, unmuting here.
Perfect, thank
you. There's a construction project going next door to my office, and it's a little bit disconcerting, but it's on hold right now. I founded the Boston Harbor Angels about 7 years ago, and we are have a membership of about 50, and we have we've funded about 56 deals, which is kind of a moving target because we've got four or five that are in play right now. So we're manager led. I have an associate who manages the group, and I'm the founder, and I do the coordination. So
okay, very good, Mick. Welcome to the call. And then Ira with the Hyde Park Angels in Chicago.
Hi, yeah, this is Ira Weiss from Hyde Park Angels. I have been doing angel investing for about 15 years and help run our angel group. We've only been around since 2008, but we're a really, really active group. We're up to 85 members. We made 7 investments in the last 12 months, and what's a little bit unique about us is we're affiliated with the University of Chicago's Business School, which is now called Chicago Booth, and so we get over-eager MBA students to help us with our diligence, which has been valuable for our members.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome, Ira. And then Paul Silva with River Valley Investors in Springfield. And Paul, you might need to hit star 6. By the way, Paul, if you're on one of those, like a Skype or other digital phone, just FYI that sometimes that star 6 doesn't get picked up by a lot of teleconference systems. You know, it's not a true star 6. It's like this artificial DTMF signal. So if that's the case, just pick up your cell phone or another phone and dial back in, and then we'll be able to hear you. So, Paul, okay, very good. I tell you what, then, let's go ahead and jump in. And then, Paul, if you'll just please dial in from a different line and then just hit star 6, and then we should then be able to hear you. All right, we're going to take this thing into basically 4 pieces. We're going to be talking about building up your deal flow through your referral network. We're going to be talking about it through the list group Ecospheres, the new angellist.co and all of those. We're going to talk about publicity, and we're also going to be talking about key events that can help drive deal flow. So first up, then, is building your referral network. And, you know, Ira just mentioned a very important point that I actually didn't include on the preliminary draft of the agenda, and that's university feed. So that's been extremely useful for us down here with Georgia Tech and Emory and a number of others, and has provided a lot of deal flow into our angel groups. Ira, can we put you on the hot seat to speak about that and how you're able to do the best job possible in extracting new ideas and startups out of the universities near you, and I guess in your case specifically University of Chicago.
I'm happy to do that. I'm actually often asked to talk about this. Our situation is a little bit unique, although actually it's also true of Northwestern. The Angel Group is actually affiliated with the school, and I'm a faculty member at the school. And actually, Kellogg also, not so long after we started our group, started their own Angel Group. We are in and around the business plan competitions. We try to, have some of our members judge the business plan competitions for the school. Most of the really good businesses that come out of at least the business school part, you can get access to by getting involved in the business plan competitions. Here and there, we have a pretty good relationship with the tech transfer offices, but my experience is usually we are far from the first call that they make, because usually they're more interested in trying to license technology or try to find a more established venture fund. So I guess my recommendation would just be if you're close to universities, we've had some of the best investments in the Chicago area over the last few years have come out of students in an MBA program, students in various kinds of programs, a lot of really good entrepreneurs. So I just like to stay in and around the hoop.
Good. Has anyone else established any formal or informal ties to the universities near you that's worked out well?
Well, this is Mick Williams from Boston Harbor Angels. We have developed an affiliation with Babson College, which has a very strong entrepreneurship program. But we also have deep ties to MIT, some lesser ties to Harvard, and other ties to University of Massachusetts. And one of our members is a professor who has sold a business, and he's at Boston University. So we see our visibility is such that we see from all over. I happen to have an experience that incubators and angel groups usually have a problem if they're directly affiliated with the university. This is just my opinion. The idea is that it becomes very political, it can become very political, and you don't want that in your angel group. You want to have an independence, I think, to be able to look at any deal anywhere. And with Babson, we have that, and we meet in one of their classrooms on campus. And it's a nice in setting for us. And that works out well, but they can't tell us what to do or which companies to look at. So that, I think, is a distinction that there's no political pressure being put on us to pair certain deals or to screen certain deals or to see certain deals that come out of Babson, although we do see, many that come out of there.
Ira,
I was just going to say, this is Ira. We do actually have a similar setup in that we are, our screen committee is completely independent. We, I think of the 11 investments we've made, maybe two are from the university, actually possibly three, but we invest in, we've invested in businesses started by people at other universities, so we don't have any, there's no restrictions on us in terms of what we can invest in.
How are you funded, Ira? I mean, is the university have a contribution of anything more than just the facilities?
They have been. I mean, we're kind of transitioning off of that, but initially, the business school did fund, has been partially supporting us from an administrative standpoint, and they've still been doing that. So,
I think that's where sometimes there is a problem that occurs. If they are providing funding, they say we have to have this, we want this, and we'd like this, and it sounds good that you've been able to control that, so that's fine.
Great.
Yeah, this is Valerie. I would second that motion, and in fact. There are times that some of the universities have approached us either in the private investors forum or now and want to do some formal setting or formal agreement, and we've actually just said no for all those very reasons is that you've got members who are also graduates of other schools and so it actually makes it easier on everybody if it's just sort of an ad hoc. You're there supporting organization. We know to call them. We invite them to all of our things. They invite us to all of their things, and it just makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, makes sense. Another thing that Paul and I were talking about just before this call started were incubators, also not on the formal agenda here. But I noticed in Atlanta, we've had pretty good deal flow from a lot of the surrounding incubators. Any stories or successes in striving to set alliances with the incubators near you, and has that worked out well or not so well? Any qualitative feedback?
This is Valerie. I can answer that. We actually have an agreement where the National Business Incubator Association is a sponsor of our forum. We actually, because we hold some events, we kind of separate the sponsorship of the group very differently than the sponsorship of events. And then that's one way to keep an arm's length from the sponsorships, because then, having them sponsor your actual group and then having them control the agenda, they can control like a minor part of the agenda. But NBIA has been great, and we love it because they've got incubators all over the place, and it's a great network for not only resources, but if I've got a company that I think is sort of not ready for prime time, I pop them to one of the incubators, and they work with them for a while, and then. I get to go revisit them again, hearing from the incubator folks, how they've been managing, or frankly, the incubator folks will tend to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, this company is, just secured a couple extra customers here, and, I think you might want to, talk to them again. So it's kind of nice to have somebody letting us know when things are happening.
Any other thoughts there on integrating with incubators and, drawing out some of the best ideas from the incubators?
This is Paul Sola. I'm coming through okay now.
Yes, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Oh, fantastic. Sorry about my line causing the trouble last time. So in answer to the first question, I run Riverbend Investors. We're based 2 hours west of Boston. 35 members, about 15 investments. Tend to do boring but profitable is our joking reference to what kind of deals we like. But now, let's talk about this. So, out in Western Massachusetts, what we have is a fair number of sort of first-generation incubators, which are very good at losing money and either not helping the companies very much, or they're helping sort of traditional, friends and family businesses, which are the backbone of America and to be applauded, but they're not a good fit for angel investment. So we haven't had good traction with those. Where we have started to have some great traction is we helped sort of unofficially, but many of the members of my group have reached out and they've involved with an entrepreneurship program at UMass Amherst, which is in our backyard, and we've also created a mentoring program, which is a separate organization. There are some other entrepreneurship-related programs which do not necessarily have real estate, but have been delivering some fantastic results, which has led to one portfolio company for us so far came out of that network. So mostly it's a charity activity, but the hope is that in the long run, we are creating an ecosystem that people like Mick have all around him. But we need to have a place so that when a company comes in, we can do like Valerie said, you're not quite ready. This is where you are in the pipeline. Here's where you should go.
I think there's the distinction. Incubators is can you hear me?
Yeah, we sure can. Go right ahead, Mick.
Okay. Incubator is a term that I think has got a bad reputation, deservedly, for being tied into universities, because the university incubators, I don't know of any that have ever worked. And it's sort of the same thing where the professors with their own pet projects tend to drive into the incubators, and therefore that doesn't have the sustainability. Now, the private incubators, where a private company starts an incubator, and we have several of those in Boston that are quite active, that's a little different story. They're in business to make money, and we've seen many deals out of one of the incubators. Actually, we've seen deals out of every incubator in town, but we've seen particularly quite a few out of one that is in an MIT building, but it's not. It's just they're just tenants. So it's in Kenmore Square, and so therefore it's like a it's kind of a hotbed for tech. So yes, that's been very instrumental, and it's relatively new. These private incubators that I've seen.
I think the private incubators that can also cut both ways. That you know they've got to be definitely in sync with what we're looking for, and I think that there are some good business incubators that are basically shared office space that clearly have nothing of interest that you know we would invest in. So I think you have to really determine which ones are just shared office space and which ones are truly incubators for scalable businesses.
Mm-hmm. This is we were pretty involved. There's a local accelerator called Accelerate Labs, which is modeled almost identically after Techstars. And we were very involved in them this last summer and ended up investing in 3 of the 10 companies that they helped do the accelerator. I'm not personally such a big fan of kind of the traditional incubator model, but the accelerator model is actually like quite a bit, where a company is in just for a period of 2 to 3 months, gets a lot of mentorship, and is kind of kicked out. You know, there's a demo day, and they get kicked out, and we all get to go to the demo day and see how the company's doing. So we've stayed in and around the companies and Accelerate Labs pretty closely, and we plan to do the same thing this year.
Ira, you bring up a very interesting point. A lot of people might be surprised by this, but we found good deal flow, shockingly, from super angels and name brand accelerators, like Techstars, because to your point, there's a little bit of funding, and then they kind of get booted out. You know, they're not quite as rich pocketed as the Y Combinator guys. They're just being given a bunch of cash the moment they step in with zero discount and get a little spoiled because of that. And the super angels are pretty light on their initial funding rounds too, and want to see others join in on the syndications on the second round. And we found some really good jewels from the super angel side in addition to the to the accelerators. So thank you for bringing up that point. Has anyone else taken a look at some of the Techstar and other accelerator companies, and has that been a viable deal flow source?
Yeah, this is Valerie. I think that kind of brings up the subject that what we are trying to do with the Angel Venture Forum is don't make it like, we don't charge dues because, we basically are trying to get what our activities funded, get our activities funded through by doing a couple of events and stuff. It just kind of pays for the platform. But for the most part, what we're trying to do and where I think that good deal flow comes from is, let me step back a bit. A lot of angel groups will go and say, okay, let's conduct due diligence on these companies. And I've just found that, it's worth me just starting to work with the company and volunteering my time and seeing, kind of test running, taking a test run with the company and even providing and putting some money in just to pay for some things business-wise out of my own pocket because it's kind of like you're taking that company for a test drive, so to speak. And I just found that's the greatest way to get deal flow because you're doing stuff for companies. Even if you often volunteer to do things, not only are they going to refer other deal flow to you, but, you know, to me, it's a cheaper form of doing due diligence. And you may actually fix something within that company, even though you may not get compensated for it, and you actually find out, you know, let's say if that company ends up not being, you know, the perfect company for you, you've at least spent your time and efforts propelling them forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Any other thoughts on, you know, sourcing deal flow from Super Angels or the name brand accelerators? All right, let's move on. In the agenda, the very first item, now we're finally getting to the first item, is building that referral network from local law firms. I think in most cities, there's typically 1 to 3 law firms that are kind of the tech, you know, deal or M&A champs that tend to just naturally have a magnet for new deals or just aware, you know, for whatever reason about those new deals. Any thoughts there on, you know, initiating those relationships, you know, rewarding them, keeping that relationship going on an ongoing basis so that that, you know, pipeline back and forth stays, you know, stays good? Any thoughts on that topic?
I think we're more important. We as agent groups are more important to them than they are to us individually. Typically, there are a few attorneys who have a very active practice in working with early-stage companies, and they're very hungry to look for us to find evidence to push their companies and their products, so to speak. So, I mean, I think if you're flying under the radar somewhere, they may not know of you. You certainly better make yourself aware, but if you find a couple deals, pretty soon people find a way to your door because they hear you have money. And so we have an affiliate law firm as our major sponsor, Gunner Fish, which is an old-line small local firm. It's local only, but a very large local firm. And they have their members actively participate in our investors and not just, you know, selling services. In fact, we prevent them from selling services directly in our meetings. So, again, law firms are good, and that doesn't limit us from doing deals from any other law firm because, again, the law firms are working hard to get their customers and clients presented the right framework. So, yes, it's certainly a source, and it's not hard to discover or implement.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else had good success getting deal flow from the from the local attorneys? My only just one side note there before we move off on that topic. My only complaint there is, you know, some of them are so hourly billing oriented that it's really hard to get them to participate in the angel group meetings and really dedicate time. Let's face it, we all do a lot of volunteer time helping and mentoring and hand holding and advising, you know, these companies, and, you know, they're so, you know, billing hour oriented. That's just oftentimes kind of outside of their ability to get into. But in any case, that's, you know, my issue, probably not anyone else's. All right.
Well, I think your point is that that's not the guy you want. You don't want the hungry young attorney. You want the senior partner who is really interested in giving back and not interested in. He's got plenty of business. He doesn't need to generate business from your company, from your angel group. And so that's the guy you want. And, yes, we have very active senior partners in the law firm who write term sheets for free, do due diligence for free. They're just, you know, one of the guys doing their share as other people who are experts in providing their expertise in the due diligence process.
You know, it's interesting to mention it. You know, when I look at which attorneys, you know, are better helpers, you're right. It's the senior attorneys who are giving back their time. And, yeah, the young bucks are just so focused on billing up their billing hours.
I would like to offer a counter to that, which I think is probably geographic in nature. Again, my neck of the woods, there are no law. There are zero law firms that the tech companies go to. If they're smart, they go somewhere else. They go to Boston. And so because of that, if I talk to the senior guys out where I live, and I only mention this because most angel groups aren't in the major metropolitan region that have an active culture of venture capital. Obviously, the most successful, well-known angel groups tend to be, but a lot of groups are more in a situation where there isn't that culture there. And so what I've found is, you know, there's a handful of younger lawyers who are, yes, they're hungry, but they understand that if they're going to make a career, they have to do something different. It's not going to be about being a lawyer for the car dealership. They have to help create the companies that will give them lots of great billable hours in the future. And I don't know how much of that counterpoint rings true for other people, but I thought it was worth sharing.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, thank you all. How about CPA firms? Any you know, special issues or notable issues, or has anyone been able to develop some really good deal sourcing from CPA firms, out of curiosity?
No.
Okay. I think we've struggled down here. We've got one good faith CPA firm here that's been very useful to us, but for the most part, you know, it hasn't been a very deep well. Let's talk a little bit about other angel groups. You know, I know a ton of angel groups, you know, actually participate and have, oftentimes we'll even have one or two members, you know, literally named to, you know, go attend other angel group meetings near them so that they can swap and share deals in a very streamlined a manner. Any thoughts there? And I might put Mick and you know Paul you know on this particular you know question, because New England in particular does such a wonderful job in syndicating between the groups. So Mick, any comments or words there?
Yeah, well we have members who are members of as many as two other angel groups, and they're like you know they have. Their thought process is that they're looking. Still there?
Yeah, we're here. Well,
okay. Anyway, we see more groups than any other group in the area. We also fund more groups and fund more companies than anybody else in our area. We also fund less money than any other group in the area, typically, because we're very diversified and look at a lot of different kinds of deals. And I can't remember a deal we have not syndicated in the last, 48 or 50 of them. You know?
Wow, so, that says a lot.
Very few deals go unsyndicated, and we've never had a situation where we've been cut out of a deal where, you know, some investors have not been able to participate because we've invited other groups in. There's always room for more money in deals, typically. And so we're anxious to help the companies get funded, and therefore we are very anxious to syndicate and to have our companies get greater exposure.
Mick, has that esprit de corps just always been there, or was that something that you all had to purposefully work on through the years?
Well, I don't know if it's esprit de corps, or just, you know, if I invest in a deal and I'm invested in 18 deals, I want to see them funded. I want to see, you know, I want to tell people. I want to tell people about them. I want people to invest along with me, and also provide additional information and help to the companies. So we're anxious to get a diversified investor base with talent that can help the companies succeed. So I don't think it's.
Although to be fair, Mick, you know, you and Boris, who's your analog to me at your organization, the group manager. You know, kind of gone out of your way to, you know, reach out to other angel groups, and three times a year we have a regional event. Many regions don't even have one a year. So thanks to the leadership of several people in our region, we have these things. So we get to see each other face to face three times a year. That helps create the sort of subconscious social comfort, and to know a little bit about each other. And it made it easier. So for instance, one of the deals that your group and my group did together, one of the reasons we did it is because the company presented to you, and they had, you know, you needed domains X, Y, and Z to understand the company, and you had Z. And then they presented to my group, and I had X. And what happened is Boris and I spoke, and we realized, hey, I have X, and you have Z. Let's find someone with Y. But that only was possible because we built the relationship such that I could know that, you know, that I should call Boris, and that he might actually have someone with this kind of expertise because we did a deal like this last year, yada, yada, yada. So I think that having these meetings where we come together regularly to syndicate deals has helped facilitate a lot of things. And I would like to add that just, you know, syndication has been a powerful form of getting deal flow. You know, actually Boris's group and my group swap deal flow well before it's early. So as soon as deals come in, you know, I share mine with him and he shares his with us because we're not in competition. There's always the opportunity that there's some deal that someone wanted private. We wouldn't share it. I've never had that situation come up. But, you know, we both agreed to those terms at the beginning. I don't think we've ever used them. And I do that with one or two other angel groups. I believe you guys do too, and it's just proven to be valuable to us.
Well, we've been cut out by a couple of VC groups where we were in due diligence or somewhere along the deal process, and VC firms that snapped them up, and that has happened. But we've never had a deal where one angel group has taken a dominant position and set other angel groups out. But I don't. Again, like I said, we're always looking for more aggressive investors to get in these companies because there's usually a second round or third round too. So you always need down the road.
There's a cultural norm that we've created in that there's, about 24 of our groups. And again, because we come to the same meetings, we see each other all the time. If I screw you on this deal, then you will be inclined to screw me or exclude me from the next deal, and there's always going to be another deal. And apparently the economics are different in the venture capital community, or the culture is different, probably because of different economics, but they apparently feel the need to pounce on deals much more than we do. I've noticed that folks are a lot more collegial in the angel community.
Yeah, very much so. Whatever you're doing, it's working great out there, so keep doing it, and congratulations on such a great syndication environment around the New England area. I think in other areas where the density of angel groups is not nearly as high, I think it very much depends upon that angel group chairman, and I just wanted to put a plug in for our relatively new angel group chairman down here in Atlanta. His name is Mike Eckert, and boy, he's just fantastic. He's really rebuilt the angel group down here. And one thing, he does so many things good, it's kind of hard to point at one, but once we find a deal that we like to fund and we pass the hat, how that room gets very thin very quick. And oftentimes, we don't have quite enough to satisfy that entrepreneur to get them on their way with their plans. And Mike has just been extremely good at just picking up the phone, reaching out to other angel groups that might be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away. Making calls to them, making the introductions, establishing those networks and those relationships over time. And so I would encourage all of you to really do that. It's worked well down here. That syndication works great in New England, and it's just a wonderful thing to share those deals between groups. Any final comments on sharing deals with other angel groups before we move on to others?
I think some angel groups say, one tank of gas or hour drive or something, and a number of groups in our area say that. We are looking for the best deals for our angel investors in our group, and we've done deals in Canada and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Texas and Chicago and all kinds of other different places, Maryland, because we are looking for the best deals and not just just the deals we can find locally. Last month, for example, we probably had 50 deals apply. In our screening committee, we cut it down to 8, then we cut it to 4 for our regular meeting, and we had 2 groups, interestingly enough, out of San Francisco. And you have to ask yourself, why are, that's the hotbed of angel investing. Why are they coming here? Well, I don't know, but we like the deals, and they both got traction. So it's interesting. Some groups say, no, we won't look at anything, but we're looking at deals all over the country, and I have networks of leaders of angel groups in different parts of the country, that guys that I know well, and we trade deals all the time.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that I'm seeing from I'm an active member of the Lancaster Angel Network, and in Lancaster, they'll look at other deals. And in fact, they're really excited to having us expand our relationships, or me expanding my relationships into other areas, so that, we can look at those deals, but also to get, longer-term relationships with other angel groups so that, we know that there's somebody else maybe local-minded in the store. So I think we're seeing an increase of that, although I think, we've got to do a better job at getting to know other angel groups and fostering those relationships so you have some of the trust, so to speak.
Okay, good.
I just want to add to that. I'm sorry, Michael, I know I've talked too much. But, again, if you're a group that's outside of one of the major areas, but there is some syndication going on, a tremendous benefit to my group was that I saw that James Geschweller in particular was sort of leading. He's from Common Angels. He was sort of leading the creation of what is now this vibrant syndication network that was nothing except a couple people getting together once a month. And I saw that that was happening, and I said, I need to show up all those meetings, and I need to volunteer to do all kinds of volunteer work, because I don't go to the same coffee shops as Mick, so I'm not going to know Mick unless I volunteer to do a bunch of work. And by doing that, that got me intimately involved in the process. It helped create the syndication process, which was not just philanthropy. That was of tremendous value in my angel group,
because, again, we can't get it by accident. So if you're outside a major area and there isn't, most of the parts of the country don't have great syndication, and you want it, I highly recommend you to find one or two key people and start building that. And you, everyone should know that ACA has just begun, just a few weeks ago, decided that we're going to start looking at how to help not only geographic-based syndication, but sector-based syndication. So it'll be easier for groups all across the country that are all in the same industry or interested in companies in the same industry to start working together. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to me offline.
Yeah,
but I think that's a great way for people to build. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I really hope that aspect really takes off at the ACA, because so many people are so specialized in the areas they look at. So hopefully that'll really grow. Okay. Any other sources on the referral network side before we move on to other aspects?
One thing is, I mean, obviously this is Valerie. Obviously, you know, outside of lawyers, accountants, and other service providers, what I found is that the entrepreneurs themselves are terrific in doing referrals because they've got their own networks, and what I noticed is that they're almost now helping each other more, and I know we've encouraged that. With the entrepreneurs that we've worked with, is we basically said, look, you guys need to be helping each other. So, like, for example, if one company is talking, happens to meet at one of these receptions, an IT guy or an IT investor, when you're not, you're a medical device company, that, help out your fellow entrepreneur and say, hey, why don't you take this guy's business card? So what I found is I get a lot of great referrals from entrepreneurs, because we always try to remind them that, let them help each other, because you're really not in competition with each other, for the most part. Because I don't invest in the best deal that's on my desk at any one time. I know what I look for and try to find it. So I think treating entrepreneurs with respect, giving them some feedback, then, if you give them feedback on their presentations or their company, and I think if you give them honest feedback where you actually help them, I think it's going to increase better deal flow. I know I've seen it, because what happens is they go and they'll tell people, oh, no, that, Valerie isn't interested in that. Or, gee, she's not interested in that, but you know what? Maybe she might tell you who is. And I think fostering relationships with the entrepreneurs has been terrific. And treating them with respect, which I think, angels treat entrepreneurs with respect a whole lot more, I think, than some of the VCs do, and I think that some angel groups are better at treating entrepreneurs better than others, but I think that's a key way to get great deal flow, is treat them well.
Yes, I think you're right about that. Thank you all for that topic. All right, next group of topics is the some of these ecospheres, these list group ecospheres that exist out there. We'll be talking about angellist.co, angelsoft.net, this angel pool that we've launched, et cetera. Let's begin with angellist.co. That's become quite the phenomenon. Has anyone found some good deals through AngelList and any comments as to the quality, what you like or don't like about it, and any thoughts on that topic? I take it,
I have actually not used it much personally, but for some of our portfolio companies, it's been really handy. We've, more than one, we've done a financing with them, and then, one of the, someone who's involved in the deal, not necessarily us, has put the company up on AngelList, and actually has, AngelList is the only one that we've used of the ones you listed, and very quickly thereafter, there was, interest from Coastal Angel, which kind of was nice. And I think probably somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000 for two of our companies ended up coming via those lists. So I think it's definitely, we haven't used it as much for deal flow, but we've used it to help get our, to help fill out financing rounds.
Very interesting. So you've had a very favorable exposure to it. It sounds like where they, where two fundings took place by pushing the deals out to AngelList.
Yeah, what would happen is we already closed on a round of, say, I think in one case it was $750,000, and we had funded $500,000 of it, and there were a couple local angels who had funded $250,000, and then they put it up on AngelList, and like I mean, within a matter of a couple, you know, a week or two, there was literally another $1 million in interest. And so we closed off the round. And then actually for one of the companies, we actually waited 6 months and then, you know, increased the valuation by 50% and kind of brought in a bunch of the other people who were interested in and invested a little bit more ourselves. So it's actually, I mean, I haven't personally used it, but I do think that our two portfolio companies that have used it have had a very positive experience.
Okay, very good. For the others, I wonder if it'd be useful for me to describe kind of real quickly the sign up process. You know, basically just go to angellist.co. You let them know you're an active angel. They will then typically ask you, you know, there's a form you fill out on there. They'll then typically get back to you asking for references. They'll typically, you know, contact your references, others that you've stated that you've invested in, you know, others that are already a part of AngelList that they can rely upon for good, you know, qualitative data, you know, on you that you are indeed an active, you know, angel, active in the space. And then if that quality check goes through, then they make you a you know, you've become, I guess, an official part of the of AngelList. And then you know, they used to send out like these daily emails. It was almost too much. And but then they've kind of cut it down to kind of weekly or things that match your profile. You can kind of create a profile there, and then anything that kind of matches up with that profile gets tagged your way in kind of a weekly summary. And I found it interesting. I haven't I've mostly funded local deals. I haven't done an AngelList deal yet, but I've taken a taken a look at some of the ones that have come my way, and they look kind of interesting. So that may or may not be a viable you know, source of, you know, for all of you, but you know, I found it to be very interesting. Any other comments on AngelList before we move on? All right, let's move on to AngelSoft. You know, AngelSoft, of course, has been around for you know, quite a bit longer, and several of the angel groups also use it for syndications and actually for, you know, in meeting related paperwork. I know we tried that down in Atlanta. We, for whatever reason, we just couldn't get our members to log in, so we kind of went away from that. But I think that we're starting to maybe think that we've got more tech-savvy members now. We might try to make another run at that. Any feel for the others on AngelSoft in terms of the deal flow side? Any comments?
I mean, this is Ira. We certainly use AngelSoft to manage our own deal flow, and, you know, I don't know how we would survive as an organization without it. And I know maybe, you know, some people have had different experiences, but for us it's been incredibly helpful. We haven't had as good of experience with the deals kind of coming randomly through the transom. And, you know, I don't know if that we haven't as good of experience, but I don't know. We haven't been as open to it. Maybe that's a better way to describe it. We have, you know, here and there, we have had another angel group refer us a deal through AngelSoft, and that's been useful.
Yeah, I would probably echo those remarks.
We use AngelSoft as well. We use it in a lot of different ways. I mean, I think there's pros and cons to it. I think each of the things that are out there, like AngelList and stuff, I think they all have their merits. And I don't think I feel strongly one way or another, because I think they all have really good things to them. We use AngelSoft, and that's because it's cheap and free, and, you know, I think it does what we need it to do.
Yeah, I'll make a comment there. You know, mine's identical to Paul's. You know, I found that whenever I get a referral from another trusted, you know, angel or angel group, I found the quality of those to be really interesting and high, and I've always taken a look at those. The unsolicited ones, you know, I've found, you know, basically just to be junk. You know, it just, you know, that's one negative about it. They allow everyone, you know, anyone who wants to put a Visa card in to apply and get their stuff distributed, and then so you end up with a lot of this noise in the background. But, you know, but for, you know, for the platform side, it's been, I think it's been useful. Any other last thoughts on AngelSoft? All right, very good. Let's move on to AngelPool. Just as a quick background for those of you unfamiliar with that, the syndication side of AngelPool, you know, basically they meet you know, monthly on a regional basis. It was an attempt for many of the regions, or I should say most regions, who do not do a great job in terms of syndicating their deals on a routine basis to kind of kickstart that process. And so far, the response has been just wonderful, you know, from those. It's probably less useful in areas where the syndication process is working good. And I would definitely point to New England as a classic example, Seattle, and maybe there's this little sector in Wisconsin, you know, between Chicago and Wisconsin does a pretty good job syndicating where Angel Pool is probably less useful there. But that's kind of a quick background on that. Anyone who would like to see more deal flow, you can just contact your Angel Group chair. They get invites every month, and they can pass you the information to get in and look at the deal docs, et cetera. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about local publicity to increase awareness by the entrepreneurs. Has anyone had some really good publicity that's come their way? And what type of publicity has worked best for your group to range entrepreneur awareness of your group? Would anyone care to take the lead on that?
Wait, ask it again. I missed some of that.
Oh.
I can mention what's worked for us. You know, we do a lot of judging, not just the business plan competition here, but certainly we go to local events, but also try to have, you know, one or two of our most active members involved in some way as a judge, or those are either judging or, you know, kind of really actively involved in some of the tech events that go on in and around the city. And so, you know, that's where, you know, entrepreneurs that are looking for value add in different ways are often at those events, and that's been, you know, definitely been a way for us to meet a lot of, you know, kind of get a lot of deal flow.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like a major exit to get you lots of publicity.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Talk about that a little bit. Have you been able to ham up the exits, and how have you been able to ham them up?
Well, it's hard to ham up when you have an exit to Merck for $500 million. And you have less than $10 million in equity. You don't have to do any hamming. It's just there. And it gave us a lot of publicity. And I think it gives the entire angel community in Boston a shot in the arm to know that it's out there. And so not just our group. And there were other groups involved in it. We were the lead group. And there were three or four additional rounds that other groups came into. And we continued to invest. But those kind of things are good for everybody.
And I'm sure that was picked. Obviously, a $500 million deal would be picked up by the news, networks there, which would be great. And obviously, they would cite the early investors, which would have been you. Did you also do any proactive things, like do a press release on it or anything of that nature?
Yeah, but here's the problem. Some of the folks in the private investors forum, we had found a company called Fingerworks, which was a touchpad technology out of Delaware. Well, it eventually sold to Apple, but part of the terms were that no press releases, and that, you know, you can't have Wayne Westerman come back and talk to everybody about how, you know, we did that deal and we helped put the company together and sell it to Apple. So, you know, what I found is that some of the deals, particularly if it's under, you know, 30, 40 million, you know, it's just so off the radar, and, you know, certainly not worth any of our money to go and send press releases. You kind of say, well, why? And, you know, sometimes it's often the nature of the deal, at least that the exits I've had, is that have all been quiet, saying that the terms are, you know, you can't announce it.
Yeah, and to your point, you're seeing that more and more nowadays is, you know, we're all trying to get those early exits. And typically early exits are a strategic acquirer, you know, looking for a new product to add to their portfolio. And the last thing they want to do is, because they're going to have Oracle or Google or whoever's going to buy it, they're going to want to tinker with it and make it their own before they release the product. And the last thing they want to do is announce it to their competitors until it's ready to be released. So we're seeing more and more and more of those, and that's it's kind of frustrating where, you know, you've got a good win, but you just can't get the word out.
Yeah, and you know what's even more frustrating about that is that, and this is kind of a little bit of a divergent, piece of, it's diverging the conversation away, is that, you know, right now as we're talking, they're right now voting on, you know, the patent reform bill in D.C. Well, it's amazing, you know, I think that many members of Congress have no idea that, you know, the big companies don't really innovate as much as they're claiming to, and it was actually really funny in one of the, the briefings we did, I was able to bring in the prototype of, you know, the first product of Fingerworks. And when Apple stood there and said, you know, we are the greatest innovators in the world, and we said, well, you know what, actually, you buy these technologies from us. So, you know, we actually innovate, and we as angel investors bring these things, you know, we sell them to you, and that's fine. But it's funny because I think members of Congress were even like, their response was, oh, wow, really? You know, they're telling us that they hold all the patents, they hold the majority of the patents. And I said, well, yeah, they hold the patents because they buy them from us. So it is really, you know, a PR issue that I think that, you know, we have both in getting deal flow and letting the world know what we do.
Mm-hmm. Our group does issue a press release every time we make an investment, and my experience is that if people know who are the active groups, and if they know that you're writing checks and you're making decisions relatively quickly and you know, you're announcing an investment every other, you know, whatever, pretty regularly, then, you know, that in some ways that's some of the best PR. Exits are great because people know you have a lot of money, and I've had some exits. Our group hasn't had any exits yet. But, you know, I think as long as people know that you're very actively writing checks and treating them well, then, you know, I think that's worked well
for us. But do your companies actually allow you to do that? I mean, are they okay with that?
Well, we coordinate a press release with them. I mean, when we're financing with them, we coordinate a press release, and they'll usually do it first, but we'll do a separate one. So.
Wow. Yeah. What I found is that people have said, you know, we don't want you to let anyone know that you've invested in us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I found. It's not across the board. Let me take that back. It's probably like 50% of the cases, which I think is pretty high, 50 or 60%, just say that they would prefer not letting, you know, anybody know that they've got the money. And then the other portion are the angel investors who just say, hey, look, I don't want my, you know, this is sort of the, this is the quandary. Yeah, I don't want people knocking down my door knowing that I'm giving money. It's like, well, but guys, that's how you're going to find, you know, more deals, if people know that, you know, and they see you on cap tables.
Has anyone been able to nurture good relationships with, you know, local business reporters so that whenever they're, you know, funding a company, maybe they can have a good story, you know, written upon the about the rise of the company and what they're trying to achieve, or any successes there? In any case, I know that's worked out pretty well for, a couple of the ones down here in Atlanta. Any other thoughts on publicity and, you know, how to increase exposure of your, yourself, if an active angel or your angel group, among the community? All right, let's
move. I think the best word of mouth is from your members. The best members come from existing members, and the best companies actually come from members. Mm-hmm. And typically we see companies that our investors have, our members have, either discovered, looked for, they have the companies that found them, and I encourage the companies to try to find a champion or a leader, as that's the best way to access any angel group, is to find someone in the group who you can get excited about your project. And that's where the most success comes from, and I would say that member-led deals, where there's a member who is already either invested or going to invest, or that is a very strong signal to the rest of the group that we should pay attention.
Yeah, I'm not even sure why I didn't list that on the agenda, because I think for most angel groups, that's the number one source. You know, certainly it would be for, you know, our angel groups down here. So thank you very much for reminding us all about that. How about association meetings? Are there any particular associations that you have all found particularly useful to network with, where there just tend to be a lot of entrepreneurs and activity? Mick, I would imagine.
Well, I think any and every organization that, you know, holds events and stuff, we've made them supporting organizations. And so what I say is that, look, I'll list you on our website as you know, one of the groups that, you know, we communicate with regularly, and we'll help promote your events to our list, and you help promote, you know, our regular meetings to your list. And so I think it's, those organizations are really, really essential, particularly if you can help them in some way and turn around and sponsor them.
Yeah, no question. I'm just looking at the time, and we're probably within 3 to 4 minutes of being done. If anyone from the audience would you'd like to comment on particular additional paths or channels that have worked out well for them, if you would please hit star 6 on your line to open up your mic and just go ahead and announce that, or just go ahead and cut in. One additional item on events is a number of groups and have hosted these biz plan pitch competitions, and boy, it really just seems to draw them out like the druthers. I don't know exactly why, but boy, they really come out for those pitch competitions. And then we, of course, ferret through and watch them and try to cherry pick the best ones to then source and bring into our angel groups. Has anyone held or actually hosted a pitch competition, or have you found those types of things to be good sources of deals for you?
We've been active. Can you hear me?
Barely. I'm not sure if you can talk louder.
Our situation is there's many of those going on in our marketplace all the time, and yes, we have people that go to them and try to pick out the ones that we think can get funding in our group. So, yes, they're certainly good sources. We have not sponsored any. Babson has several during the course of every year, and we go to those. And then a lot of them are very early stage stuff that really is not suitable for us, but we still go and look.
Okay, very good. Any other thoughts on that topic, or anything open for the group? All right. Well, we're near the bewitching hour. A special thank you to our panel, Valerie, Mick, Ira, Paul. Thank you so much for volunteering your time to help the angel community. Very, very much appreciated. Everyone on the call today. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying thank you for sponsoring.
Oh, we're glad to. Everyone on the call today may listen to past events and participate in future events at no charge. You may see a full listing of our future events at angelpool.org. Again, angelpool as in swimmingpool.org, and just click on the Knowledge tab. There are a number of high-profile speakers and panels coming up that will be discussing various aspects of angel investing best practices, including Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn. The next few events are on July 28th. There's going to be a panel on minimizing fees, safely reducing closing costs. I'll definitely take a special effort not to invite our local attorneys to that. They'd probably be horrified that we're even having a panel on that. But I think it's an important item to discuss, because we want as little of our precious capital being siphoned off, and as much as humanly possible going into that product development and marketing and sales efforts to get those products up. On August 26th, Josh Koppelman with First Round Ventures will be talking at 2 p.m. And then on September 8th, at 3 p.m., Reid Hoffman, partner with Greylock, and of course, chair of LinkedIn, will be talking about future, angel investing trends and technology trends, and where he thinks things are going and what opportunities might lie out there. This call was recorded and should be available by tomorrow at angelpool.org. Again, a special thank you to Valerie, Mick, Ira, Paul. Very, very much appreciated. The call is now concluded. Thanks all, and have a great day.